Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Jitter's ready. Stand by.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Gunluck from Bullets and Bourbon Podcast. I'm joined here with my co-host Frank Gao, and we have two special guests, Alex Goking, which everybody already knows, and Sean Moeller. Sean Moeller joined the Marine Corps shooting team this past year, and prior to that, he was a summer shooter. Solid guy, you know, solid ethics. One of those guys that was like that kind of just naturally picked it up, and you know, the team at the time was like, "We're bringing this guy here." So. Sean, before we go any further, can you introduce yourself? And Alex, we're not having you introduce yourself because we already fucking know who you are.
Kill.
Yeah, of course. Like you said, I was a summer shooter last year for the Marine Corps shooting team, and now I just became a permanent member of the team back in January, so still relatively new, and still new to competitive shooting overall. Before last summer, I didn't do any competitive shooting at all besides some ZSA down in Camp Lejeune.
So I'm sorry.
That's all I got for competitive shooting experience before becoming part of the team.
Can you tell us about what your MOS is, background, you know, what kind of gravitates you toward the action shooting sports?
Yeah. So my primary MOS is 0311 Rifleman. I started out my Marine Corps career as an 8156 Marine Security Guard. So that's when I actually got somewhat of an introduction to stages and I guess drills that were more action-based because it's a combative MOS. Got some guys over at MSAO that I still keep in touch with. And I remember starting out, they had timers and the USPSA targets and all that stuff. They ran us through a few drills, and I fell in love with that stuff the first day that we did it. And it wasn't until a few years later that I started doing ZSA. And then now I ended up here.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
So I just want to chip in real quick because ZSA always elicits a few chuckles, but say what you want about that format, but it's been responsible for getting a lot of Marines like deeper into competition shooting. So for those of you in the Lejeune area, if you're thinking of going out and competing, ZSA is a good venue. It's just that you shouldn't stop there. You need to go out and seek more comprehensive and more varied disciplines in which to test yourselves. There's a lot of really good venues in North Carolina, but nothing wrong with starting at CSA.
I agree. I mean, it's kind of where I got my start.
It's where Major Hitchcock got his start. I went to Sir Walter before I went to ZSA.
But you also started in Cali too.
That is true. It's very true.
If you've never met John Z, you're missing out on a good portion of life. That dude is devil dog in like bold letters.
I love John because I think at one point he was a junior Marine and he just decided to make that his personality for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like, John's the shit.
That sounds like a dig, but honestly, it's very refreshing because basically like the first 5 minutes interaction you get with the guy is what you got. Like there's no subterfuge. There's nothing sneaky. It's just he's a very honest and forthright person and very passionate about getting Marines into competition, which I'm appreciative of. So we'll start by talking about what brought you guys to Duskin. Alex, I know that it's always been a wish list match of yours, but going into this competition season, all the teams had to contend with kind of slash budgets, right? And you guys had to be pretty judicious with which major matches you're going to be attending. So how did you guys get a berth to get into Duskin and what made Duskin a must attend match?
So it was one of those matches that, you know, you kind of just dream to get in. And Matt, I was talking to Matt about Duskin and I was like, man, that's a sick, sick match, you know, and coming from a person who in terms of physical fitness is not, Matt helped us out, connected us with JK. JK was extremely welcoming, phenomenal match director. It was a great match. And Duskin was a big freaking deal. So I remember being at Barracks Marine back in 2017, 2018, and I was watching a video on my Facebook, because if anybody, everyone remembers their first, like, well, post 2000s, when you go to your first USPSA match, your first three gun match, or even a major, you go home and you have like 100 friend requests of people you probably remember from the match. But that networked hard enough for me to bump into, while living in the barracks, looking at one of Matt Martini's old videos when he still had that GoPro mount, of him climbing a rope, doing some crazy stuff, shooting a stage in the kill house. And I thought, this is the coolest shit in the world. And like a few years later, here we are shooting the match. Oh my gosh, it was wild. And I know all the other guys that, you know, they loved it. Looks like it, unless you're lying to me.
No, not at all.
Yeah, good stuff. Glad it worked out. So I'll also ask the same question to you, Sean, but when did you first become aware of Duskin? What impressions did you have going into the match?
I became aware of Duskin last summer, when Go King had showed me a video of, I think it was one of the guys on the AMU. They were running that same stage that he was talking about. And I thought it was really cool. And it would be great, great experience to shoot a match like that. And then once I came back to the team permanently, he had brought it up that we had slots for the match and he wanted me to go. So I was all about it. So I was getting ready for it as best as I could, but I didn't, I guess I didn't do my due diligence enough to do some research to really see what the match was going to be like. And I was really surprised at how great the match was.
So I will say, I mean, like, JK really didn't put out like how physical it was. And like, you really don't know until you're there what you're getting thrown at you. But mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's a physically intensive match. That's how he's going to design it. And, you know, for those of you who are listening that are going to be there next year, just plan for an even more physical match.
Hell yeah.
Get strong.
Yeah. You guys have a whole year this time. So we'll talk about that for a second. I know you guys didn't have a whole lot of time after you found out you're coming out to Duskin, but how did you all, you guys shoot a lot. I see you guys on set every time I come down there to train, but how did you prepare yourself for the shooting and the physical portions of the match? Alex, we'll start with you.
Well, so as soon as Matt let us know that, hey, you got slots, one, there was a little bit of energy of me flipping out like, oh my gosh, we're going to Duskin. This is going to be wild. But like that turned into like, okay, I definitely need to get functionally fit. And for the amount of time I had leading up to Duskin, I actually, there was, I think it was Amanda Cherry's program on the One Fitness app. And I was like, you know what, instead of guessing, let's just go straight for it. You know, when I was, I found out about it on one of Dave Hartman's episodes, and I was like, cool, let me try it out.
It's speed and agility, right?
Yeah, speed and agility. I did that, and I honestly, like, that took me far. The one day I decided to, like, you know what, let me do something different today. Let me go do, like, a lot of deadlifts and stuff, and then I hurt myself. And if anyone was there at Zoo City in May, you saw that. It was terrible. But everyone else, like, they probably had a different PT plan, but the biggest thing was we knew we kind of got the general gist of how functional our fitness had to be, and we kind of just turned to and did what we had to do in the short amount of time we had.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. I would say in terms of being physically ready for it, though, you probably could have you probably could have practiced a few breakfalls, huh, Alex?
Lol.
Sorry, oh, that was very low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
it's meaning like bad. Low from like one story low. So.
Oh snap! Freaking, you know, you know your ropes on this shit.
I do know my ropes. I'm glad you're okay though, buddy. Man, I felt really bad when Alex took a bad tumble off the fast rope, and so. I saw him come hobbling up to me afterwards. It's like, God damn it, we can't have two staff and CYCs in the goddamn team being ankle broken.
So the funny thing about whenever he took that little tumble off the rope, I was sitting in the cart with JK at the time, and somebody came up to us and was like, hey, we need to get a medic over there. One of the Marines got injured. I was just like, who got injured? I'm not entirely sure. I was like, I told him, I was like, was it this Asian looking guy named Go King? He's like, yeah, that's the one. So I go over the medics. I was like, hey, me and JK go over the medics. And I was like, hey, we need to get a medic over there. Just check something out. We don't think it's anything too serious. And I told the medic, I was like, hey, just go up to him and tell him to quit being a bitch.
Apparently it works because Alex beasted the rest of the match, like doing physical shit that even I couldn't do the bench press, and you did it. So that's awesome, dude.
Hey, I was like, you know what? It's better than pulling my back. I was like, man, I can still shoot.
Well, goes off, you know, yeah. Alex, tell them why you got through the bench press.
Okay, cool. So, when I was like, you know what, JK did say, you know what, make an attempt, but don't hurt yourselves, take the time penalty. I was like, you know what, I'm going to attempt this dumbbell press. I've never really pushed 80s before. So I was like, whatever, you know, we'll give it a go. And if it starts to feel weird, I need my shoulder for multi-gun nats. So I was just like, go. And then Matt comes over to me and he goes, hey, Nate Staskowitz got all 5 reps. And I was just like, damn it. Okay, I guess I'm getting all 5 reps then. I'm like, shit. That's what Matt sounded like.
Well, Matt didn't say that to me until after I failed it. So, because he couldn't be there for all of us, huh? But next question goes to you, Sean. How'd you prepare yourself physically for this match?
He didn't.
I was doing a lot of running.
Sorry, go ahead. Ignore his.
I'd rather think of a response and then say it, and instead of being a stuttering bunch of baboons.
Okay, go on.
All right. I did a lot of cardio stuff. About a month before the match, I was in Arkansas. We were doing a lot of flak runs because those stages at the Armed Forces Skillet Arms Meet at the National Guard Marksmanship Training Center. A lot of the stages in the matches, there were a lot of flak runs. It was a lot of shoot from this yard line, and then you're going to sprint to the next yard line. You have a certain amount of time to get there and shoot off your next rounds. So I was focusing on cardio. And then another thing that I was focusing on was control of my fine motor movements. So an example of that was looking back on my video. I noticed that I did it and I was happy that I did. It was on stage 6 when you got to run back to the Humvee, grab the dummy and drag it. Stage 5, sorry. Grab the dummy, drag it up, and then grab shotgun and start with shotgun. I noticed that I was controlled with moving the dummy, got him across the line, and then once I got him across, I stopped, I took a breath, and then I grabbed a shotgun because I knew that I was going to be throwing a quad load in. So I didn't want my heavy breathing to get in the way of that fine motor movement. So I was glad that I did that, and I felt that I did pretty well in that stage. I shot it clean, so that's what I was going for.
Yeah, nice. The extra second to kind of steady yourself can come in handy. I think it was stage 3 with the shoot house where you had to drag Randy over the tank trap. I had that So as I was moving over the tank trap, I'm like, all right, get your breathing sorted out. Because once you get down there, like, you have to hit a spinner and a few other things. So get it together. But yeah, definitely you learn a lot from shooting under duress. But just the point of Duskin is to introduce soldiers, like active duty soldiers. It's come out right, Mike Duskin, right? But he was very passionate about getting his peers into competition. He really cared a lot about competitive shooting. So there were a lot of active duty soldiers there that were stationed on Fort Bragg. How were your interactions with those guys? And did any of them seem more willing to dive into the competition scene based on your conversations? And Alex, I know you lent your gear to some of those guys, so you can talk about that some.
Yeah, those guys were awesome. Like, we had a really good squad, and anyone who shoots matches, like, having a good squad makes a big difference. And those guys were cool. There was one guy who shot heavy, which is such a Chad move, like doing Duskin but with plates in. Like, that dude didn't hold back. Cool guy. These guys were awesome. Like, they were every time we wanted I wanted to kind of like just, you know, not give unsolicited advice, but just like, hey, you know, they'll make it easier if you do this. And these guys were all about it. They're really open about it. I know I saw some of the guys, they're about to hit the jungle run, and I was looking at their setup, and I was like, that's like two caddies. Oh boy. So I was like, hey, fit this to your waist. And then this dude, yeah, they started sharing it for the last few stages. And it was just, you know, it sucks seeing somebody like not be able to finish out a stage because he doesn't have ammo, because I've been there. And that sucks. First three gun match ever. That's what happened to me. But yeah, their interactions were great. They were some really cool dudes. And there were a couple actually who were like, you know, they were interested in getting into the sport. You can really tell by the conversations, the guys who were like super in the weeds about how they're going to attack the stage, or even the technique on the techniques you're going to use for that stage. And it was wild. What about you there, Muller?
Real quick, the guy you mentioned shooting heavy, he wasn't just shooting heavy. He was shooting a SCAR 17, and he was shooting like a 1911 45, and I think he was shooting a Benelli M4, wasn't he?
It was a 1014.
He was fucking sweat. It was basically a Call of Duty loadout, is what the guy
absolutely,
was, which was pretty pretty freaking neat, and he was doing pretty well too. Sean, how are your interactions with some of the soldiers on the squad?
The interactions that I had with them, they were all good and all positive. Some of them, if they didn't have such a hot stage, then they would get off the stage and they would still be in good spirits, which is definitely good for a match, especially Duskin.
So what you're saying is they didn't pull a Tony.
Okay. No. Hey, my man, T-Shoot, stay strong out there recruiting.
T-Recruits.
Sorry, we're going to retroactively designate the impact zone for this podcast of the entire internet. No one is safe.
T-Recruits.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I'm with you. They had they had good attitudes about them. They were okay with being humbled, you know? They knew what their strengths were. A lot of them were like, I better crush the physical events, but I know I'm going to struggle a bit on the shooting. Was that more or less what you experienced, Sean?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that one more time?
The sentiment I got from them was like, I better be really good. Like, those guys were like, I better be really good at the fitness stuff. But they expected a little bit to be humbled by the shooting. Is that the sentiment that you got?
Oh, yeah. I felt that we were with the super squad of just jacked guys. Like, they would get on the bench, they would knock them out in less than 10 seconds and then start their stage. Meanwhile, I just dropped them, put them off to the side. I even let the RO know. I was like, hey, I'm going to drop these. I'm not doing this. He was like, all right, I appreciate you letting me know. Are you ready?
Appreciate you letting me know, you little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. I felt it. He didn't say it, but I felt it.
If there's a criticism, it's that the ROs were a little bit judgy if you couldn't complete certain tasks.
Yeah.
We're making that up.
I know which RO you're specifically talking about. That is one solid dude.
Was that Sherb?
I agree.
No, that wasn't Sherb for... Well, Sherb was there, but Sherb wasn't the one on the timer. Okay. It was, I want to say Blake.
Okay.
You know, if you're ROing and you're judging people, like, I mean, you're ROing. You already have the higher ground. You're doing the hard work. So judge all you want. I think do it, you know?
I mean, I would have, like, you know, Marines are known for their physical fitness. I mean, why did we bitch out during the bench press? Minus Alex. I'm kidding.
That got really deep. Mo was about to cry.
The rest of this is about to become a therapy session. But yeah, some of those guys had already competed. A couple of them came up to me and asked if I knew John Glomba. And I was like, yeah. And they actually came out for that RPGI night match that happens at Shadowhawk. And I told him Glomba has since PCS, so there is a chance for someone else to take first place and that they should come back. So, but
there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to miss his mustache.
Agreed.
It's a prominent one for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, so we've already kind of talked about that there is like a very physical element to this match that you don't really find at most other matches, unless you're going to like do a tac 2 gun or tactical games type match. Like most 3-gun matches, but it's not physically challenging. You know, there might be some stages that are super long that require some level of cardio, but realistically, you're not going to get a stage like jacking steel at a match. But what would you say, you know, what stage or elements would you say was your favorite from the match? Muller, let's start with you this time.
I would say the variety that's involved in the stage design. I've never went through a shoot house like that before, just being able to let loose and run through as fast as I can. That was amazing for me to experience. I thought that the different types of transitions from far targets to close targets, like on stage 5, I really liked that stage a lot. So climbing up onto the container,
the conics,
and engaging those targets standing, you don't usually get targets that size where you have to shoot through the small portion of a window of a car to hit it and then transitioning to 3 targets that are right in front of you. I've never had a stage like that before. So I really enjoyed that aspect, the variety of the stage design.
Alex?
Contrary to popular belief, my favorite stage was stage 1, which was the... we had to climb the ladder up to the building. The one I fell off at, that was my favorite stage for a million reasons. There was some character development, definitely. I mean, one.
So the one where your ankle became a bitch.
Oh, no, it did not, because it was good.
His ankle held up. He still finished the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I can go into a little bit of detail on how that blunder happened. But just me, like, that kill house has been the one thing that's just like stuck with me for all these years. Like, holy crap, that looks like a lot of fun. Like, gotta just speed through hose of targets, hopefully remember where everything's at, like running up close and just blazing stuff with a rifle is really fun. Even when you had to transition out to like some mile distance out the window. But that fast rope, just well, not really a fast rope, but climbing down the rope was interesting, because like halfway down I was like, you know what, I'm low enough and I'm getting bored of climbing down, I'm gonna jump towards that pad. And what I learned was, when you try to shoot one direction, if you don't let go in time, the rope recoils back. So 1 foot hit the pad and the other foot hit the concrete. I hit the deck and then I kind of snapped out of it. I heard some, like, I wasn't sure what those sounds were. It was most likely my shells. And I was like, you know what? I'm not afraid of heights anymore. So that was one of the thoughts that crossed my head. Stood up, grabbed the breaching shotgun, breached, limped my way in because it hurt immediately. But the moment I saw my first target, it was like, all the pain disappeared, and I just did my best to blaze through the house up until the unload show clear. When that happened, the pain completely came back, and I was hobbling my way out, sat on the ground, and then the rest of the story involves Matt and the little ATV. So that was my favorite stage. It was just a burn it down stage, and I loved every bit of it.
So I think the sound you heard was Sonic the Hedgehog whenever he loses all his coins, and like all those coins just like erupt out of him. That is the sound you heard. And I do want that video so we can post it as one of the photos or one of the videos whenever we post this episode.
Okay. Yeah. I'll send it to you. And I've shown a bunch of people out. I showed Martini. I showed the AMU guys. They recoiled at the video, by the way. That's how bad it was. Mueller gave me that idea to make it sound like the coins, like when Sonic gets like hit and stuff. So I made that right after back at the hotel, and that video is still there, and I will post it as well. Because why not? If you can enjoy at my expense, then that works.
Oh, we
too.
Do. We absolutely do.
I appreciate that. Sincerely.
I was able to experience that first person because I was the cameraman. So I was up there. I saw everything happen, and it was an immediate thought. I started hysterical laughing right before I dropped the phone to the person that was down below. But I was like, no, he's probably not going to find it funny at first. So let me give it like 15 minutes and then I'll tell him.
Oh, it was funny right away. Yeah.
Hey, so did any of the shooting that you guys did there, did it really expose, did anything expose, you know, any flaws in your ability due to the novelty of the stage design or the demands of the physical fitness?
For myself on stage six, when you're shooting rifle from the Humvee, I have trouble remembering my holds. I even write it down on my arm, but then when I looked down on my arm, I was like, I don't think that's supposed to be it. And then I just started second guessing myself. So I need to work on my distance. But what I did do during that was once I got into the tank, I worked on that control, and I really waited until I had a steady breath and stance before I started shooting. So I at least got that.
One, it wasn't a tank. Two, you guys are remembering holds.
Tank?
Which, that was not a tank.
Did I say tank?
You said tank.
Humvee. That's what I meant.
It wasn't a Humvee either. It's one of those new things.
Yeah, one of those things.
We know what you're talking about.
I think we're going to have to post a picture or something just so the listeners know what we're talking about.
Yeah, let's make a meme, tank. That is tank now.
Pat, make sure you tag Raider in it.
he is blood of boil. Yeah, that thing was hard to shoot out of. That was like my biggest marksmanship challenge where I was convinced of a mount and I didn't abandon it. And so I poured out. I was like, okay, I heard this is the best way. So you don't have rounds skipping off the roof of the vehicle, but I kind of held onto it a little too tight and didn't get the stability I wanted. But yeah, that's the part that really messed with me a bit. I think everything else, most of the challenge was a physical thing.
You know, I think that's kind of important. Like, and it's a cool aspect. Like, yes, like, you know, we're exposing people to a lot of elements or a lot of things that, you know, we utilize in the military that generally aren't exposed to civilians. But looking at it from the military perspective, you guys are being exposed to some of the type of vehicles that you may have to utilize and shoot from whenever you guys go overseas and, you know, may have to, you know, conduct combat operations. So that is one good aspect that you're getting exposed to. Like, hey, if I have to set up a shooting position from here or like from this turret, I know how to load into the weapon. I know height over bore. I'm not going to shoot this snorkel off of my Humvee, which I've seen my Marines do before. And then we had to go steal one from a motor pool and put it on our vehicle that we shot the one from. But, you know, it's kind of exposing those different flaws that you don't think about whenever you first get in a situation, and it's allowing you to utilize, you know, vehicles that you could very well see in combat.
Hey, Matt, is there like a statute of limitations because you openly just said that you stole something off of a Humvee?
Fine, let me rephrase. I didn't steal. One of the Marines went and tactically acquired something.
There is a statute. Humvee. There is a statute of limitations. It's called a DD-214.
Yes, that too. But the fact of the matter is that Snorkel did get turned it back into the motor pool, so it never technically got stolen. But moving along. So, the both of you are slated to attend the Shotgun World Shoot in November. You know, tell us how the training and planning is going for that event.
Before that, we did do a little bit of a tryout. We had a at the beginning of the season when nobody really had any training. Brian Nelson helped us out, built us like some stages that we could use, like the test component skills for the World Shoot. And myself and Mueller were able to sneak out. I mean, we didn't shoot it amazingly clean either, but we were able to sneak out the top two finishes in the team for the tryouts. So the moment that happened, it was a lot of heavy like three gun type shotgun stuff, like jungle runs and all that good noise, to like, hey, I'm going to shoot this IPSC-like USPSA stage with steel, but with a shotgun. And now I need to make sure those quad loads are like sub whatever seconds so I can still do that breakfoot gun up and get that muzzle out past the wall before I even get there or once I get there. So, yeah, it's been really shotgun focused. Definitely a lot more dry fire than we used to do.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, a lot more dry fire.
I live in the barracks, so I'm not able to dry fire quad loads in the barracks for obvious reasons.
You need to do is you need to get married just so you can move out of the barracks, you know, start making more BAH so you can start spending your money on more guns. That is the responsible thing to do.
Sergeant Muller, as your staff in COIC, do not listen to Matt Gunlock.
I like Matt Gunlock's thought process.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. I would recommend you refrain from such acts.
No.
Respectfully. Comma respectfully. Correct. Good job.
As any good officer, I would like to offer a caveat and just say if you do get married, get married with someone with ties to federal ammunition, and that ties up several packages for you.
There you go. As an enlisted advisor, I will dovetail to his piggyback and say that. Too bad.
Anyways,
somebody's eye is twitching because we just hit like the three like forbidden words and like two sentences.
That's a good trash. Good to go.
Let's shut the fuck up.
Hi, Asher.
You were saying, Sean.
So living in the barracks, I can't dry fire there. So I've been coming here to dry fire Alex's shotgun. I've been here a handful of times just to be here for 30 minutes or up to an hour, where I'm just nonstop, quad loading, unloading, quad loading, unloading. And he's helping me out a lot. So
you got a new shotgun coming in too, don't you?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I just ordered a few weeks ago, the, Dissident M2.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I got another few weeks until it comes in, but I'm really excited for it.
You got to thank your sponsors for that. Your parents.
Yes, yes. I thank my parents for being my sponsors for the Dissident Arms M2 Elite.
Honor thy father and mother. Good job.
And honor the person who, you know, put you in contact with the person to get the discount code.
Yes, and thank you.
It helps out, but it was a general military discount.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Mike and Lan are freaking awesome people, and they just want to, you know, they honor military discounts, and they're good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really good process working with them to get that build put together. They answered all my questions that I had. There was no doubts when I was putting in that order. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, they're awesome people. After seeing open shotguns being shot this weekend, and I will be shooting Frank's shotgun this coming weekend just to, like, you know, mess around some, I am honestly thinking of making a full transition to open, just because, one, you don't have to practice as hard in terms of, you know, doing any quad loads whatsoever. And though I do enjoy quad loads, I just don't have the time to really think stages like you do with Tac Ops.
Well, you also got that retired money now. So
I know. Yeah, but I'm trying to be responsible. I'm going to wait until next year and see how I really feel before I jump into open. So we'll kind of see.
Why would you wait? Like, I jumped into open in USPSA, and I'm not looking back at any division ever again.
I am trying to be responsible for the first time in my life.
it also helps that he knows somebody with an open shotgun that basically shoots it like twice a year. So he could just use that.
There you go. Shared custody.
Hey, Frank, do you want to go to Carolina Guns and Gear in August and shoot a 3-gun match?
We'll talk offline.
Okay.
But even if I don't go, you can use the shotgun. Like, it's all good.
No, I'm probably going to just compete in Tac Ops just because the rest of my matches this year are Tac Ops. So, but we'll see. Hey, real quick, you know, so Alex, you've kind of taken over the 3-gun and 2-guns stage designs are at Quantico. You're reintroducing them back to Quantico. What can you tell us about the stages that you have planned for July?
So the best way I can put it is over at QSC for both the USPSA and 3-gun matches, we have a philosophy where the targets don't have to be hard for the stage to be challenging. I've had a lot of talks with anybody into this kind of stuff, to where I think one of the greatest difficulties you can give somebody is to put them in some sort of like dilemma or a tactical dilemma. For you MCDP types. But it's, I don't want to create something excessively difficult. Like, I don't think anyone here necessarily enjoys shooting a 25 yard partial or anything crazy like that. So what I want to create is what we want to do for the community, which we did in the last PCSL match, where it's, I'm going to let you know what you have to deal with specifically with shotgun. I also don't want the ammo counts to be excessive, because I don't believe that round count and target difficulty necessarily mean a good match. So I wanted to create something for the community that's just getting back into shotgun, or excuse me, 3-gun and multi-gun. And I want to create something for them where you don't have to have an expensive rig in order to be competitive. I mean, in order to finish the match one, in order to be competitive as well. I mean, we saw it last time. We had dudes win with 10-14s or M4s for the Benelli, for those who aren't familiar with the military nomenclature of the Benelli. And this time around, I went straight up on the sign up and the email. You're going to need to reload no more than 4 rounds into your gun, typically, like, unless you start like missing and stuff. But with the way the targets are going to be set up, if you're missing, you know why you're missing, and you're going to have to pay with some extra manipulations, but no more than 4 rounds to reload. And I put in the email, hey, if you need any information on equipment, feel free to email me, hit me up. So people aren't just going out there buying the first thing they see. So that's how we're going to set it up. Because shotgun's usually the biggest obstacle for everyone. And there will be a little bit of distance, but I'm respecting Leah Grandis's PCSL rules of like no farther than 208 MOA for 2-gun and 3-gun. We're going to push it out to 300 just to make it a little bit more of a challenge of stability, of getting using the barricade, you know, stuff that I suck at. And going back to the tactical dilemma side, that means we have a lot of options. I want you to be sitting there during your walkthrough thinking,
man, okay, I figured out how to finish the stage. Wait a minute, there's a better way. And on your fourth minute, I want you to feel like, wait a minute, there's another way. And I want you to be confused. Like, but I don't want you to feel like your equipment or your, I don't want you to feel like you don't have the ability to finish the match. Obviously, the better shooter is going to shoot it faster. But I also don't want you to feel like your equipment's holding you back. Last time we had a dude come by with a with an orange shotgun, except with lethal rounds now. So that's kind of how it's going to be designed around this coming July.
Whenever you do designs and all that kind of stuff, do you ever make your stage designs around stuff that you're not necessarily comfortable shooting? You know, because some match directors, they'll make it, you know, they'll put a stage together based on what they're good at rather than thinking of what they're not good at. Do you ever look at things in that aspect?
I don't even cover that side of stuff. Like, number one, when it comes to ability, if I look at a stage design and even while I'm designing it, I have no idea what I'm going to do, it passes the sniff test. Now, you know, as if I know what I'm going to do on the stage, then it's not going to be fun for me. Like, I'm still shooting the match. I want it to be fun for me and fun for everyone else. That being said, the things that I usually think about is like, okay, people come here. There's no prize table at this local match. There's no cash prize. People are here to have a good time. Obviously, it's not going to be a total hose fest from start to finish, but there are going to be certain things that will, the things that I'll force people to do is stuff that people want to be forced to do. Like, hey, you're going to be moving. Hey, there's going to be a little bit of hosing. There's going to be a little bit of like, just like complex footwork. That's what I think about. And I never think about like, oh, what would I be good at? Because I think everyone at some point has won a local match and you don't really remember those things. You remember, was it a fun match? Was I challenged? And well, another thing that people don't think about is, were my squad mates awesome? Because I honestly, if my squad mates sucked, I really wouldn't want to go to the match. But that's like a hard problem to come by. It's like a once in a blue moon thing. But yeah, it's based off of what's enjoyable and challenging at the exact same time. And what's something that I don't necessarily have a monopoly over. Because if it was easy for me, I wouldn't be having fun as well. Because I want to be amped up. I want to be nervous. I want it to suck for me as well.
No, I appreciate it. But I appreciate you guys coming on. Before we sign off, do you guys have anything you want to leave the listeners with? I'm going to take that silence as a no.
I was thinking.
Yeah, let's just cut out that silence. There, you want me to start it off?
Sure.
Hey, shout out to Sergeant Peyton Garcia from Kansas.
Oh, is that it?
That was mine, yeah. Oh.
This is my first time doing this, but thank you guys for having me on. I didn't have anything else that I could think of to add.
All right, well, we really appreciate it. To our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for Alex or Sean or us, just hit us up in DMs on Instagram. That's where we mainly respond to. But we appreciate you guys listening. Let us know how we're doing, and everybody have a good one.